and Merry Christmas. Join me in a brief moment of prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, we come together today to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To consider what it means that you, God, by your grace, has sent Jesus Christ into the world to live and to die as a sacrifice for our sins. It is the greatest miracle to ever occur. We thank you, Father God, for your wisdom and your patience, your power that you have demonstrated through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray that this moment will be a moment for us to truly consider, to ponder all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be in this place, fill us with your Spirit, give us eyes and ears so that we can see and hear what the Holy Spirit would say to his church. In Jesus' name, amen. The creation of the earth is a miracle. Earth is considered by scientists to be a statistical improbability, a cosmic fluke. And the fact that the planet, this planet, our planet, is the only planet to have an intelligent life form is an even less plausible possibility. Life on Earth is the anomaly that keeps scientists up late at night, scouring the universe, hoping to find some sign of intelligent life beyond Earth, but to no avail. The origin of life, and especially the origin of intelligent life, involves multiple unlikely steps. In a violent and barren universe that seems averse to the emergence of any life form, here we are, a miracle. To pull off so great a miracle, Earth must be located the perfect distance from the sun. Earth must contain a faultless magnetic field and a seamless atmosphere. And to sustain life on Earth, the Earth must have water and a stable galactic location. And the probability of all of these things emerging and merging together to create and to sustain the human life form more than suggests to us today that our emergence on this planet is not coincidental, but thoughtful. The evidence suggests that we are not the result of some random Big Bang, but that we are the fruit of an intelligent designer, God, the progenitor of mankind. The God who created something out of nothing, the God who conceived humanity out of dust, the God whose spirit hovered above the waters and formed order out of chaos, distilled light from darkness, and breathed the breath of life into every living soul. Your life is a miracle. Your very existence is an improbability. Your origin, the origin of your species, is highly improbable. But your birth follows the most common path. Each of us has been born by the will of man through the natural process of reproduction. Every human born of a woman is a reproduction of Adam and Eve. You are a reproduction. I hate to say it, but you are not original in any practical sense of the word. You are a reproduction of Adam and Eve. And because we are reproductions, we carry within ourselves both the positive and the negative traits of our forebears. We are born, brothers and sisters, with the seeds of self-harm encoded into our very DNA. In other words, each of us is born sinful. Each of us is born with a predisposition toward sin. And sin is the greatest problem we face. Sin is the exclusive defect that hinders each of us from a life of true freedom. And the question is, who can set us free from sin? Dr. Jonas Salk set us free from polio. Dr. Edward Jenner relieved humanity of smallpox. Dr. Tuyu, you saved the world from malaria, but no man born of a man could heal us of sin. No matter how much we lament our sin, no matter how desperately we try and search for the remedy, no matter how hard we try to solve the problem, we cannot solve the problem of sin with the same mind that we used to create the problem. Humanity requires outside help in order to break us free from the chains that have enslaved us. And therefore, God, being the only intelligent designer, being the only one who truly understands our potential and our vices, this God would have to pull off another highly improbable act of creation in order to save us from our fatal disease. God would have to recreate man. But this time, God would have to recreate man not only in his image, but also in his very person. God would have to send us a man not born by the will of man, not born according to the regular process of reproduction, but a man born with his own heart, a man endued with his power, especially his power to forgive us, to cleanse us from our sins. And in order to set us free to live and to flourish in accordance with his original design, God would have to send us a deliverer, a Messiah. And the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been promised to marry Joseph. Before they came together, before they shared a household, before they shared the marriage bed, before they had engaged in the natural act of reproduction, Mary was found to be pregnant. Mary was promised to marry Joseph. They had not yet been together, so the obvious explanation appears to be that she had been unfaithful. The obvious explanation seems to be that she had slept with someone. But before we can draw any conclusions, before we can make any assumptions, the writer informs us that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And that's where common sense kicks in. Common sense, both yours and mine, refuses to accept such an explanation. We know how babies are made. And to tell us that she never slept with anyone and she is pregnant, common sense just throws that right out the window. Common sense refuses to accept that explanation. Common sense says that there is only one way Mary could have possibly become pregnant, and we know the way. And Joseph also believes he knows the way. But the gross improbability of the origins of all of creation recalls the fact to mind that even though it is a statistical improbability that Mary would become impregnated by the Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible for God. Common sense cannot account for the origins of humanity. Not our common sense, not Joseph's common sense. Joseph's common sense told him the same thing that my common sense would have told me. That Mary has been unfaithful. But I have to admit at that point that Joseph's actions were superior to what my actions may have been in the same situation. The text says that Joseph was a righteous man. And that's why God chose Joseph to be the stepfather of his only begotten son. Joseph was a righteous man. God knew that Joseph was the kind of man who would want to put things right. He knew that Joseph wouldn't be so overcome with jealousy and rage that he would overreact and have Mary stoned. God knew that Joseph would not want to disgrace her. Because righteous people do not enjoy exposing other people's faults. Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph would not try to expose Mary to the ridicule, to the judgment of others. But instead, he would try to cover Mary's sins. Joseph was a righteous man, so he planned to send Mary away secretly. What does that mean? That means that Joseph had planned to get a divorce. That's what he was doing. Joseph had planned to get a divorce. And that was well within his rights. And that would have been the righteous way to deal with the problem. If Mary had been unfaithful, Joseph had every right to seek a divorce. But Joseph wanted to get a divorce without cause. No one needed to know why he was divorcing Mary. And by that secrecy, Joseph sought to preserve Mary's dignity. He loved himself too much to be married to an adulterer, but he loved people too much to expose them to ridicule and judgment. Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was a good man. But when he had thought this over, as he was considering how he would approach the situation, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David." Joseph, remember who you are. You are a son of David. You have royalty in your veins. You have the promises of God over your house. You are born into a line of warriors, men of faith who stood against the odds, men who trusted God. Joseph, son of David, trust God with this. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Because this child is going to need support. This child is going to need a man to teach him and to train him. This child is going to need an earthly father to stand in the gap for him, to protect him. And God has chosen Joseph to be that man. Do not be afraid. Do not allow your fear and your insecurity to cause you to abort God's mission. For the child who has been conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus literally means God saves. His name will be God saves. His name will be God Delivers. His name will be God Rescues His people from their sins. This child generated by God, this child incubated in Mary's womb, will save the elect of God from their sins. This is why Jesus was born. And this is what makes the Christmas story so overpoweringly thoughtful. That the God who created mankind has become like us in order to recover all that we have lost, in order to recover our freedom from slavery to sin. This boy will save the elect of God from their sins. And it makes the celebration of Christmas for me a bittersweet occasion. When I think about the fact that this child was born to die for me, when I think about the fact that his only reason for living was to die for me, all this took place so that what was spoken by the prophet, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah would be fulfilled. In Isaiah chapter 7, 14, Isaiah prophesied to King Ahaz and said, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. God saves, and God is with us. It is fiercely debated among theologians and commentators exactly how to interpret the term virgin. Some commentators believe that Isaiah was saying that a young woman, a young married woman, was going to conceive a son. And others make the case that this text was referring to an actual virgin, someone who had never been with a man. And it's easier to accept the conclusion of those who understand Isaiah's prophecy to be about a young woman. It's much easier to accept that, because then we can figure that Jesus was born according to the natural rhythm of life. And then maybe the world would have an easier time accepting the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. But for the believer, for you and for me, the miracle of the virgin birth gives us no reason for pause. Because we believe that God can do anything. We believe that God made the heavens and the earth with nothing other than His words. We believe that God formed man from the dust of the earth. And having already assigned our faith to these truths, we have no problem entertaining the idea that God implanted Jesus Christ into Mary's very womb. With God, all things are possible. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he kept Mary a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The birth of Jesus Christ is a miracle. The birth of Jesus Christ is a statistical improbability. The birth of Jesus Christ is a unique and heaven-born fluke. The birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, involved a myriad of unlikely steps and surprising coincidences that range all the way from Genesis to Matthew. Jesus is the outcome of a thoughtful and creative God who has loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, a God who loved us so much that He condescended to our low estate in order to save us from our sins. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son has been given. And As we reflect on the birth of Jesus Christ over the coming days, as we celebrate Christmas, I hope and I pray that we will be captivated all over again by the wisdom of God, by the patience of God, by the power of God, and by the love that God has shown to us by patronizing us with his presence through the form of one who is just like us, Jesus the Christ. It is my prayer that we will be amazed all over again by the fact that Jesus was born to die for us, that Jesus was born to carry our grief, that Jesus was born into the world to alleviate our pain and to save us from lives of futility and of uselessness. But lastly, I hope that as you ponder the birth of Jesus Christ over the coming days, I hope that you will recall your own second birth. And I hope that you're able to see the same story of Mary being retold in your very life. That Jesus Christ has been conceived within you by that same Holy Spirit. That you, just like Mary, carry within yourself the life of Jesus, growing and developing and preparing to come into the world once again through you, through your acts of mercy, through your deeds of faith. That you and Mary share the same story, that the Christ lives in you. And that you will not be afraid, that you will not be ashamed to let the whole world know that Jesus Christ is alive in you. Like the song says, you'll go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, that Jesus Christ is alive. I can't see him. He lives in my heart. His heart is beating within me. His heart is beating within you, child of God. And by the presence of Jesus Christ in your life, you have been born again. Born not by the will of man. Born not by the natural course of life, but born by his Spirit. Conceived in the very heart and mind of God, that you are sheltered by his grace, that you are empowered by his presence within you. All of that to simply say that we, you and me, brothers and sisters, we are the embodiment of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ right now, this very moment, is incubating within each of our hearts, within each of our minds, making his will known, causing us to lead holy lives. Go tell it on the mountain that a Savior has come. God has sent his Son into the world to answer our deepest problems, to heal our deepest wounds, to set us free from the power of sin, set us free from the consequences of sin, to set us free from the pain and the hurt that we have experienced by the hands of others who sinned against us. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Every year in December, I take out special time every day to sanctify, to just pondering the life of Jesus. Such a simple story, but so powerful. Every day of this year, I try to consider one of the Gospels, to just look at this man, to consider his origins, to consider the wisdom that God has demonstrated to us in conceiving Jesus Christ into this world, what a miracle it is. A miraculous story that demonstrates to us the heights that Jesus Christ was willing to go to in order to set you free. The price that has been paid. To know that he lived to be a sacrifice. To consider within myself what that really meant to him. That I am born to be a sacrifice. That I am born to be broken for others. That I am born to die so that others can live. Think about the level of self-abandonment. Think about the process of dying to myself that I must go through to get to a point where I am willing to lay down my life so that others might live. We thank God today for sending Jesus Christ into the world. We thank God today for making a way for our salvation. And we celebrate our freedom and our liberty and the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us over the coming days. Merry Christmas, Cornerstone Church. And to all those who are traveling today, God bless you. And I hope that God gives you traveling grace and mercy. But for those who may be listening today who are not saved, for those who have not been forgiven for their sins, for those who are filled with shame and with guilt, for those who are suffering under the burden of sins that inhabits that you cannot break, today I offer you Jesus. Yeah. This child who was sent into the world to find you and to rescue you from your sins. I don't promise that God is going to take away all of your problems. I can't promise that God is going to take away all of your struggles. But I can promise you this, that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will begin to experience a new level of freedom, freedom in your mind, freedom in your heart, freedom from your past mistakes, freedom to start again. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, Jesus will make your heart new. Jesus will make you over. Jesus will give you the ability to start a new story. Old things will pass away and all things will become new for you. I invite you today. I implore you today to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. To take your faith out of yourself, out of your ideas and your schemes for a happy life. And to trust the plan that God has designed for you. A thoughtful plan. You have been created for a purpose. And the very fact that you and I even exist is a statistical improbability. We're not even supposed to be here. There is no other life form in the cosmos other than on this small planet. You are here for a reason. You are here for a purpose. Receive Jesus Christ into your life. Begin to learn what that purpose truly means. If you accept this proposal today, I want to pray with you right now. And you simply repeat after me if you believe and you agree with the words that I am saying. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. You shall be set free from your sins. I invite you to pray with me and with us today. Let's pray. Father God, every year around this time, we celebrate Christmas. For many of us, it's only a time to give and to receive gifts from one another. And most of the time, we don't even consider that you have given us the greatest gift of all. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, Today we consider, today we reconsider what Christmas really means. And we confess right now that we are in need of salvation. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I desire for you to live in my heart. Lord Jesus, I renounce my former way of living. I renounce my ideas and my schemes for a healthy and happy life. And I look to you by your Spirit to guide me, to teach me, to direct me in the way that is pleasing in your sight. I confess that I am a sinner in need of your salvation. I come before you in humility and brokenness with all of my wounds, all of my scars, and all of my problems. And I lay them at your feet. Lord, set me free by the power of your sacrifice. Lord, set me free by the power of your word. Cause me to be born again. Give me a new heart. Give me a new mind. Save me now, in Jesus' name.